I'm going to begin with our scripture for today. It comes from the book of 2 Timothy. I'll be reading from chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. In the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience for teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober, enduring suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. And we add blessing, meaning, to the reading of these words. My message this morning is entitled, The Litmus Test for Following. So, at the height of World War II, Protestant theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer was imprisoned for taking a stand against Hitler. A group of Christians who believed that Hitler was the Antichrist asked Bonhoeffer, why do you expose yourself to all of this danger? Jesus will return any day, and your work and your suffering will all be for nothing. Well, Bonhoeffer replied, if Jesus returns tomorrow, then tomorrow I'll rest from my labor. But today I have work to do. I must continue the struggle until it's finished. From our reading today, the final verse, ask for you and all things in your afflictions, do the work of bringing good news fully, do the work of your ministry. I think that the words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer in this verse from 2 Timothy have a lot to tell us about who we are supposed to be and what we are supposed to do as people who are striving to follow the teachings of Jesus. And the verse is particularly interesting, at least it should be as Presbyterians, because the last word, ministry in Greek, diakonia, which is the word that we translate as deacons, or at least the roots of the word is deacon, which of course is part of the duties of those that are installed as elders in the church, be deacons, leaders, those who meet the needs of the church. Now, Bonhoeffer shows us what that kind of following, that kind of Christian leadership looks like. If Jesus returns tomorrow, then tomorrow I will rest from my labor, but today I have work to do. I must continue the struggle until it is finished. 2 Timothy tells us that in all things we are to do the work of bringing good news till our work is finished. Now, what we will find is that while that all sounds wonderful and even somewhat inspiring, putting it into action isn't always all that simple. In part, because we get too easily confused about what following actually looks like. Our text says, proclaim the message. Well, okay, but what message? All you have to do is to flip through the TV channels on any given Sunday to see that there is, shall we say, some disparity in what exactly the message is. Now, the text also says that the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine but have itching ears. Great, again, but what is sound doctrine? And what is doctrine that should be avoided at all costs? Most devout Christians, not surprisingly, believe that their particular way of understanding Christianity is, of course, the right way, sound doctrine. But when denominations are splitting in half over theological questions, and people are leaving one congregation for another, or something the minister or a Sunday school teacher said, oh, we can't all be right when we disagree that strong. Even if we think we are. What we need is some sort of litmus test. A simple way to evaluate if we are following Jesus, or if, as the text suggests, will happen to some people, we are following teachers who suit our own desires. Now, most of you have heard me give enough Sunday morning messages long enough now that it should not surprise you to hear me say that Martin Luther King is one of my personal heroes. The day before he died, in his last sermon, Dr. King said, like anybody, I would like to live a long life. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. Now, in his statement rings echoes, I think, of Bonhoeffer's, if Jesus returns tomorrow, then tomorrow I'll rest from my labor, but today I have work to do. I must continue to struggle until it's finished. And also echoes of 2 Timothy as well. As for you in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of bringing good news, fully do the work of your ministry. In his last sermon, besides making that statement, that the most important thing in his life, including his actual life, is doing God's will. In his last sermon, Dr. King revisits the story that Jesus told when he was trying to teach us about doing God's will, the story of the Good Samaritan. And in it, Dr. King gives those who pass the hurt man by, he gives them the benefit of a doubt, pointing out that particular stretch of road was known to be a very dangerous road, and they may have feared for their own lives. And he imagined him asking the question, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? What's going to happen to me? Then Dr. King cuts to the heart of the story, and for that matter, to the heart of my message for today. He said that they asked the wrong question. They asked, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? But the Good Samaritan asked, if I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him? And that is the question that not only Dr. King asked, but it's the same question that love should ask. If I do not stop to help this person, what will happen to them? It's the question that caused Abraham to plead for God for the lives of the people of Sodom. It's the question that led Daniel to face down a literal giant. It is the question that led the prophets to literally risk their lives in order to point people to a better way. It's the question that led Jesus to the cross with greater love as anyone in this, that they lay down their lives for their friends. It is the question of love. And that is your litmus test. How do we follow? How do we know if we're proclaiming the right message? How do we know if we're doing God's will? We ask the question of love. Does the teaching lead to greater love? Does the action not only come from a place of love, but result in the person knowing that they are loved? Love is the litmus test we need. And not fall prey to temptation to say that it is naive to think that we can love everyone, even our enemies. It is not naive. It is an acknowledgement of what is sacred. Do not fall prey to the temptation to say that it is naive to be forgiving of those who hurt you. It's not naive. It is love. Do not fall prey to the temptation to say that it is naive to make sure the basic needs are met for even the least of these. It is not naive. It is love. It is acknowledgement of what is sacred. Following, practicing, and proclaiming love means matching our weekdays with our Sundays. Following, practicing, and proclaiming love means being willing to risk loving your enemies. It means when you're faced with someone in need, asking the question, if not me, who, if not now, when? It means always answering those questions with love. In accepting his Nobel Peace Prize, Dr. King had this to say about love. When I speak of love, I'm not speaking of some sentimental and weak response which is little more than emotional bosh. I'm speaking of that force which all of the religions have seen as the supreme unifying principle of life. Love is somehow the key that unlocks the door which leads to ultimate reality. This Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Jewish, Buddhist belief about ultimate reality is beautifully summed up, he said, in the first epistle of St. John, chapter 19. Let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God, and that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. We love one another. God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. It's been a really long time since I had to read from the King James Version. Felt like I was stumbling all over the hills. Love is the litmus test. Love is the litmus test. Love of God and of neighbor is sound doctrine. In fact, according to the teachings of Jesus, it is the sum of all the doctrines. Love God, love your neighbor, and, as we learn in the Good Samaritan, anyone in need is your neighbor. So, for those of us trying to sort out how to follow the teachings of Jesus, I give us this charge, love. That's the charge, love. Measure the success of your discipleship in units of love. Let love be your compass, your companion, and your full-time commitment. Hold on to it with reckless abandon. Let it be your unifying principle in life. Let it be your first and your last word. Let it be in your every action. Let it be your litmus test in all of us. Let's now enter into a time of a little more reflection, a little meditation or prayer. And if you are willing, please bow your head with me as we go into this meditation. Following the teachings of Jesus, and so many other great spiritual guides, is times more difficult than we ever imagined. not just because loving our enemies is so difficult, not just because giving away what we've worked hard to own is so hard, not just because forgiving feels so counter to our human instinct, because there are so many messages out there about what following love looks like. May we not only have hearts that long to walk in the teachings of love, but minds that earnestly seek to step in the right places. May we learn to follow mindfully rather than blindly. May we seek out a path that makes the world a better place for all people rather than simply for ourselves. May we have it instilled in us an understanding that faith is not solely about our own personal souls, but about the entirety of creation. May we be encouraged to express love more fully in each of our actions, and in doing so, may we grow closer to each other and begin to help heal the world. Amen. Again, we thank you each for being here. And before you leave, receive this blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, recognizing that we are one. May you know love and happiness throughout your life. And may your words and actions bring that love and happiness to others. Go now in peace and in love.